God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our text for today from Philippians chapter 3, Paul reminds us in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." This is our text. The title is Heavenly Citizenship, and very often when we start thinking of citizenship, our thoughts, our directions might start pulling ourselves more toward the United States than toward God. But Paul here is using citizenship in a very appropriate sense and trying to remind us that for the Christian, we have been branded because of holy baptism by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is where our allegiance is. That's where our heart belongs, not the things of this world, but the things of God. But again, our sinful nature sits there because we've been taught, probably ever since we were little, that we are citizens of the United States of America, at least if we were born and have citizenship in this country. And to be fair, how does Christians sort of struggle with the two? Even in our chancellaria, you see two different flags. There is going to be that struggle here. But let me give you a little bit of history from the Lutheran Church from the early times in the United States, before the United States was existed, when we were dealing with 13 colonies. We had Lutheran churches during those colonial times, and when war broke out, there was a very interesting division. You see, Lutherans very much can be divided on things. About half, split right in half, of our Lutheran churches were loyalists. The other half, you could say, were patriots. The loyalists were reminding their people that, yes, we need to give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. They didn't like the taxes, but then again, Caesar was England. They were a colony. The other half, of course, the patriots, the ones who sat there and said, no, we need to break away, we need to become our own country. Needless to say, the Lutheran Church was well divided during that time. And unfortunately, it even affected the church. Why I bring this up is, see, too often if we don't realize that for the Christian, our heart, our soul, our strength, our future doesn't depend upon the country around us, doesn't depend upon the physical things around us, but depends upon what's inside of us, what's imprinted on our heart. That's the key thing. So fortunately for us, that during that early time, the Lutheran Church really wasn't completely ripped apart by this little division. Actually, it was a fairly big division. Getting back into our own lives, we need to learn this lesson. That sometimes when we start thinking about citizenship, we immediately start thinking to the American flag. But for the Christian, we also have to realize, yes, we owe Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Fair enough. But where our heart really resides is to the cross of Jesus. In our Confessions, and that is the book of Concord that our Lutheran churches subscribe to, it says this, as far as making sure we don't get these two mixed up. Quoting, it says, "This is why one should not mix or confuse the two authorities, the spiritual and the secular. For the spiritual power has its command to preach the gospel and to administer the sacraments. It should not invade an alien office." And what they mean by aliens are not little green men from Mars, but that which is outside the church, referring to the secular authority. Let me continue. "It should not set up and depose kings. It should not annul or disrupt secular law and obedience to political authority. It should not make or prescribe laws for the secular power concerning secular affairs. For Christ himself said in John chapter 18, verse 36, 'My kingdom is not of this world.'" There you have it. We do keep a separation. For the Christian, yes, our loyalty is somewhat split. We realize that, yes, we're citizens of this country, but more importantly, we were baptized in Jesus' name. And because we were baptized in His name, we are citizens of heaven. And because we were baptized in that name, there's also another set of responsibilities, so to speak. I know we don't like to talk about responsibilities. But as in any family, there are responsibilities. And even within, as being citizens of the United States, there are certain responsibilities. We have to follow certain laws. We have to pay certain taxes. So Paul, beginning in our text from Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eye on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Paul here is trying to encourage the people of Philippi to keep their eyes focused not upon themselves, but upon Christ. Paul is saying, you know, follow me. Join, see what I'm doing and do things similar. Now, Paul wasn't trying to make the Christians into little Paul, so to speak. No, Paul was trying to tell them that they need to keep their eyes focused upon Christ and to do good works and to share God's love and to be forgiving. Not to become Paul, and also not to follow Paul's previous life when he was named Saul, where he was persecuting the church. No, Paul had changed. And because of that, he dedicated his life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, a life filled with love, a life that was concerned for his neighbors, a life that understood who Jesus the Christ is. You see, we have to realize that because we bear the name of Christ, because we are baptized in this name, we are part of a new family. Our lives sort of have changed. We have another citizenship, so to speak, of. And so baptism actually has some social implications. Involvement in the, quote, body life. Now we are involved in the spirit life. Isolation should not be in any vocabulary of anyone who is connected to Christ through baptism. Sitting apart, not getting acquainted, dodging responsibilities, and so on, is not the life of someone who's been baptized into Christ. Our baptism calls us into the community of believers. Not only are we members here of this local congregation, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in West Chicago, but we're part of the body of Christ. We don't dare sit there by ourselves and say, I'll just focus upon myself. Because since we're talking about citizenship, let me bring in something that we may know from our U.S. citizenship. United we stand, divided we fall. So also with Christ. If we are united in the body of Christ, we are united together. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. If we just start focusing upon me, myself, and I, and that isolation kicks in, we are denying what it means when we come to the Lord's table and we commune with the Lord. One of the things I love about the practice here at this church, when we come and celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do kneel at the communion rail. Sometimes it's called table. Some of our other churches, and I know they do this because they have a lot of people and they're trying to make sure the service doesn't last too long. You know, they sort of have that almost like that assembly line type thing. And whenever you do that, you sort of miss that nuance of what it means to be gathering at the family table. For the Christians, this is the family table. We've been baptized into His name. Our citizenship, we belong to Christ. We come to the family table to be nurtured with the gifts that our Heavenly Father gives to us. His Son, the body and blood, the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of faith, the encouragement that comes through there. So it is clear that for Christians, we realize that our citizenship is in heaven. It calls us to a family of God and other believers to encourage. You see, the life of a Christian is a life of hope. But for the Christian, we realize that our hope is not just focused upon the here and the now. Our hope isn't focused upon our environment around us, our community, nor is it even our own country. The reason why I brought up the colonialists during that struggle is that for those pastors who were loyalists, they lost their country. Too often we don't think of that very often, because history has usually been written by the side that quote-unquote wins. So what would happen if we lost our country? If the United States just crumbled and fell because of some great devastation or because of too many I-centered type thoughts, would this mean that the hope for the Christians would be lost? The answer is no. Because our hope is not attached to this flag over here. Our hope is attached to that cross over there. It is because Christ's death and resurrection, we have hope, because Christ died and rose from the grave. The tomb was empty, regardless what the news media may say about finding Jesus' tomb just recently. And in case if you have any questions about it, there's a little blurb in the back at the usher station that talks a little bit more in detail. The tomb was actually empty. We have witnesses to that. Our hope is in the resurrection of the dead, not in the physical life of this world. The hope of heaven affects our lives here on earth, yes. It gives us a joy that we can have even in the midst of devastation. It gives us a joy knowing that we have a future life, even if this life of ours now is crumbling. Now, if this life of ours is doing well, so much the better. But if it is taken away, if it is destroyed somehow, for the Christian, we realize that the hope of heaven still gives us that joy and peace, regardless of what circumstance we're in. And the reason why the hope of heaven does not affect our lives as it should is due to the fact that our sinful nature, our old Adam, still has the inclinations and the desires to be attached to the things of this earth instead of the things of God. That's the devil trying to twist us. The devil trying to tempt us. The devil trying to say, there are things more important than the cross of Jesus Christ. And the answer to that is no. It is in Christ we have life. In Christ we have eternal life. That's what it means to have a heavenly citizenship. So this day, as we are in this second Sunday of Lent, we prepare ourselves by trying to become better citizens of heaven, that is. We do that by attaching ourselves to God's word and promises. We do that by joining the family of God at the table of God as Christ offers his own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We reattach ourselves by reminding ourselves of the day of our citizenship, the day we were baptized into Christ and God's name put upon us, on our hearts, branded so that we have this heavenly citizenship. So we give great praise and thanks for all of the things that God has done. In the midst of things falling apart in our world, and when devastation does happen, and when things don't go to the best of our plans, we realize that we put our faith and trust not in our own plans, but what God has done for us in His death and His resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins and for your life. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.